Good evening. If you'd like to turn with me again to Romans chapter 12, please. I'm reading from verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So how do we do that then? It's a message which will strike different people in different ways. There are people here tonight who are very tired. There are people here tonight who are raring to go. And how that message is communicated tonight, I really need the Lord's help, that he will speak to each one as they need to be spoken to. But it's often the case when you're preaching that people hear the message that they want to hear. So if it's a message about working harder, those who are already working harder work even harder when they probably need to take a rest. And those who hear the message that they need to slow down, those who are already going too slow say, great, I'll go even slower. And so sometimes we need to just ask the Lord, you know, where am I on this continuum between apathy and on fire for the Lord, fully engaged in the work of the Lord, completely on the back seat? Where are you tonight? The message that I want to bring is really focused on the passage in terms of three points. First of all, unflagging in diligence. Secondly, fervent in spirit. And thirdly, focused. So this one verse breaks down into these three points, that we're to be unflagging in diligence, we're to be fervent in spirit, and thirdly, to be focused on serving the Lord. So looking at that first point then, of unflagging in diligence. If you look a few verses up to verse 8, it speaks about leadership. If you are being called into leadership, if you're gifted in leadership, then you are to lead diligently. It's the same word that's translated zeal. And I've just thought about the ant, because the ant is very diligent. The ant is definitely not lazy. And sometimes, in fact, all the time, in Christian ministry and service, there are days when we just need to keep plodding on and just keep doing it, even when we don't feel like doing it. And the ant tells us all about that. But some people don't need to hear that message because they're already very ant-like. They are completely regimented, they are completely disciplined, and they never stop. And my friend and mentor, first colleague in ministry, David Taylor, he had this practice of visiting people in hospital. He was so attentive that he used to beat the ambulance. He just, as soon as he heard they were in the hospital, he jumped on his bike and sometimes he was there at the same time as the ambulance in the A&E. And he had this discipline of always having a verse ready for the person in hospital. And his discipline was, he had this calendar and it had verses for the day. And he used to rip off from the calendar and stick it in his back pocket. And then he'd cycle off to the hospital. And there was one day he was telling me where this particular procedure went horribly wrong, because he visited this old lady who was 95 years old. She'd been serving the Lord for about 70 years. And he went into his back pocket and he found this verse which said, "Consider the ways of the ant, thou sluggard." And he just thought, well, I just couldn't read it, you know. She'd completely been serving the Lord diligently for 70 years. I could not exhort her on her deathbed to ramp it up. And so sometimes this verse of diligence can be heard in the wrong way, but I think we can all see that unflagging is something quite hard to achieve. Well, let's go out tonight and be unflagging in our service. When we start to flag, it's often because of factors which cut in on us. Maybe it's something to do with, well, sometimes it's the people we're with. You know, you walk into a room and people are encouraging and full of faith, or you walk into a room and people are full of unbelief and cynical. And I think that sometimes when we think about church, we should be creating that atmosphere of faith, that atmosphere of that yes, with God, all things are possible. And when you have that sort of environment, then it gives you extra energy. Have you ever walked into a room which is where people have been smoking, and you just inhale the tobacco, and it's harder to breathe? Well, when church is full of faith, full of all things are possible with God, then that gives us energy to keep going. And our friendships are very important. When we're seeking to do the work of the Lord, we need people in our lives who can encourage us. People who can perhaps see things in us that can be honed and developed even more. Or perhaps they can see things in us that can be pruned so that we can be even more fruitful. If the only people that are in our life are people that we are serving, we will soon get exhausted. So do you have people in your life who are also resourcing you for the work of the Lord? That's why our house groups are so important. Some of us work better on our own. Some of us work better in teams. But all of us need encouragement. All of us need prayer. You notice the ants are working in teams. We need to work in teams as well. So unflagging in diligence. Secondly, fervent in spirit. The word fervent means to be on fire. And the English word comes from the Latin word meaning on fire. And is this speaking about our emotional state, or is this speaking about something that God is doing in our lives? This verse can be translated in two ways. Some people translate it as to be stirred up in emotion. So let's go there first of all. If you think that the unflagging diligence is the get it done, just get it done. And in Christian life, we need to have a just get it done attitude. Some of us are more dreamers than doers. And some of us are more doers than dreamers. But we need to have the doers to just get it done. But if you're one of these just get it done people, then I want to ask you, are you fervent in spirit? Have you got a heart that's aflame with love? Are you stirred up with love for God and love for others? And if you're an emotional person, someone who is full of passion full of dreams, do you also get it done? We need to have both. We need to be doers and we need to be passionate people. We need to be people who get on and do the business and also be people who write the songs and write the poems about God's amazing love. Jesus was fervent in spirit in a way that's quite arresting when we read in John's gospel. It says that he went into the temple and he saw the corruption and he got angry. He got angry at the corruption that he saw and he drove out the money changers. And the gospel writer says, this reminds us of the scripture, the zeal for God's house consumes me. Jesus was consumed with a passion to meet with God in prayer. He was consumed with a passion that everyone could meet with God in prayer. And he was angry that some people were being excluded from the place of prayer. But this stirring up of the emotion is more often this flame of love that comes from the Holy Spirit. And all of this passage is about love. Verses 9 to 13 is love to one another in the church. And verses 14 to 21 is love for people outside of the church. But unless we have that passion, unless we have that diligence, then we will not be the people God wants us to be. Love is a passionate word, but it's also a very practical word. The love of Christ was to die on a cross, to give himself on the cross. And so we need to do things which are very practical. We are to practice hospitality, to share with people who are in need. I believe that we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that God would make us fervent in spirit. It was John Wesley, that great evangelist, who saw revival in England and in America. He said, I pray that God would set me on fire and that people would watch me burn for Christ. So we have this unflagging diligence, this fervency in the spirit, and thirdly, focus. Focus. This serving the Lord. The focus is on serving the Lord. It may seem like such an obvious point that why would I need to say it? Well, the truth is that there are many religious people who are unflagging in diligence and they're stirred up emotionally, but sadly, not for the Lord's work. Some people, I heard a story recently of someone who got really angry and was protesting about the fact that someone was not reading the King James Bible. And you know, the King James Bible is the only Bible you can read. And sometimes Christians can get sidetracked and get stirred up emotionally and commit themselves to causes which are not at the center of the Lord's will. As we read Scripture, we can see that the Apostle Paul himself said that that's what he was like. Turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. I'll read from verse 14. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the tradition of my fathers. So he was unflagging in diligence. He was fervent in spirit for the tradition of his fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. He was off preaching Christ crucified. I resolved to know nothing else but Christ crucified. Behold the Lamb of God. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians 3, and speaking from verse... Okay. Verse 4, talking about the confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. So he was zealous for keeping the law to the very letter, zealous for persecuting the church. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. This unflagging diligence, this fervency in the Spirit came from a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was as Christ was revealed to him and as Christ's life was received in him, as he knew Jesus more and more, what came out? What came out? Love. See, we can take in more and more rules, more and more religious practices, and what comes out? Rules, religious practices. As we get to know Jesus and allow his life to come into our life, what comes out is a flame of love, a heartbeat of passionate love for his cause. But I know tonight there are people here that have a drained condition. They've been giving out for so long. Perhaps they've been in great spiritual battles and have come away thinking, I'm so drained. That's what happened to Elijah. And God provided for him. Read the story from 1 Kings 19 when you go home tonight. There's some people here tonight who have a defeated condition. Perhaps like Peter, they've denied Jesus. They've not spoken up for him when they had the opportunity. Perhaps like David, we've experienced moral failure and we're cowering under the bed. We're not abounding in the work of the Lord. We feel defeated. There may be people here tonight who are despairing. Despairing because of things that are happening to them in their life that they do not understand. inexplicable suffering. Perhaps it's something evil that has happened within the family. Perhaps it's some sort of suffering, and it's really getting you down. You're getting disheartened. You're starting to despair. Then there's the disheartened condition. Do you remember the disciples on the Emmaus Road when they said, "We had hoped that Jesus was better than that. We had much higher hopes for Jesus than dying on a cross." Jesus said, "Why are you downcast?" He said, "We hoped that Jesus was going to redeem Israel, and they were disheartened." In 2 Corinthians 4, there are people who were disheartened because of the weakness perhaps in their life, in their body. When Paul brought that message about treasure in jars of clay to say that he could shine through their weaknesses, that their weaknesses was not a barrier to serving the Lord. Their weaknesses was a means through which he could display his power and his glory. And then there's the disillusioned. It says in Thessalonians, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Do not put out the Spirit's fire." Perhaps you've been in some high octane Christian meetings where you've seen people seeking miracles, healings, and you just feel, "I just don't want anything to do with that anymore. I just want to distance myself from all of that." So whenever people talk about healing, or whenever people talk about God doing the impossible, you say, "Well, I've been there before, and I'm staying clear of it." Disillusioned with the charismatic movement. It says in Thessalonians, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. God still speaks today, and he speaks to us, and he wants us to be renewed in our faith." And then there's the disappointments of life. Jonah didn't think he was going to be going to preach to the Assyrians. But that was God's plan for his life. And sometimes we get disappointed with God's plan. And as God's plan is confirmed, we start to get angry and resentful, because we thought that God was going to send us to do something else. But will you trust him tonight? Will you trust that God knows what he's doing? That he knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future. He is the creator of the world. He knows. He knows you before you were born. All the days ordained for you are written in his book. Trust him. Trust him. Don't be disappointed. True Christian hope never disappoints us. True Christian hope trusts in the risen Christ. And as we trust in him, he pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And he pours his love out to the world through us. Don't be disappointed. Trust God's plan. He knows what he's doing. And the disregarded condition, this idea that somehow God is blind, God is not seeing, he doesn't understand. If only God could see, then I could follow him. Then I could get back on to the treadmill and start running for Jesus again. But he doesn't see, he doesn't understand. He's disregarded my life. Maybe it's something basic that we need to do. Maybe we need to go back to basics and say, are we reading God's word every day? Are we fellowshipping with other Christians? And are we praying? Because as we put these means of grace into our lives, the flame will start to grow again. The oxygen will start to burn that flame higher. But as we go back to Romans 12, I just want to finish with a few words after the verse that I've preached on. I don't think that Paul, in writing Romans chapter 12, was necessarily linking and separating out these two clauses in the way that I'm doing. But there isn't time to preach on the whole chapter tonight. So what happens when we take God at his word tonight? When we say, yes, I want to be unflagging in diligence. Yes, I want to have that spiritual fervor back. Set me on fire, God, that I may burn with passion for you. And I want my focus to be on serving you, Lord, not just being religious, not getting sidetracked by the wrong causes. How can we do it? Well, it says in verse 12, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer, because the one whom we serve is the risen Lord. He's the risen Lord and he's with us. He's with us in this. We're not alone. And he can touch your life tonight if only you will let him in. He's knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. He wants to come in. He wants to have that close fellowship with you again. He wants to give you the fuel for the onward journey. He says, believe in me, trust in me, put your hope in me again. As he said to the exiles in Israel, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the risen Lord Jesus will renew their strength, and they will mount up wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. He will restore our strength. He will restore our sight to see what needs to be done in the Lord's work and to give us a passion to do it. He will restore our fight because we are in a spiritual battle. It is hard. There's blessings and there's battles. He'll restore our fight and he will give us, I pray, a vision to train up someone else, to get alongside someone else, and to encourage them. Serve the Lord. What is the New Testament verse that best illustrates the outcome that Paul is seeking here in Romans 12:11? That we're to be unflagging in diligence, that we're to be fervent in spirit, and that we're to serve the Lord. It is surely 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. After 57 verses of preaching that Christ is risen from the dead, he concludes with these words, "Therefore, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have the Word of God to fuel our faith again tonight. We thank you that you give us your very self tonight, the presence of Jesus here in our midst. And we say thank you because we can't do this alone. And I want to pray tonight for people here who are drained, who are really, really tired. And I just pray, Father, that you would minister to them physically, that you would give them rest, that you would give them exercise and food, and then you would speak to them in that still small voice and redirect them at just the right time. I pray tonight for those who are feeling defeated, for those who have sinned, and I just pray, Lord, that you'd show them the cross. Help them to see that you died for them and that there is nothing that cannot be forgiven. There is nothing that cannot be redeemed, and that you will restore to them the joy of their salvation. I pray tonight for those who are despairing about things that are happening to them, and they're confused and they're angry and they're hurt. Lord, may you teach them to rely on you even more through this time. May they look back on this time and say, "I really did meet with the Lord, and he taught me how to rely on him, even when I did not understand." I pray for those who are disheartened by the weakness of their body. Lord, may you display your amazing power through their weaknesses. May you display your light through the cracks in their life. Lord, for those who are disillusioned, who are afraid of the Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you would teach them again. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. Lord, would you continue to speak to us, for we need your revelation. And Father, for those who are disappointed with their lives, disappointed with the direction that God is placing them in, I pray, Father, that you would release in them faith and obedience. For we do not live for 70 years, but we live for eternity. And that the troubles of the present are nothing compared to the glory that awaits us in the future. And Lord, help us to receive the hope of the resurrection afresh. and the strength and power to fly again, to soar for you, to have a renewed vision, to have a renewed fight and a better flight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.